Okay, buckle up for this deep dive, everyone, because we are about to explore, well, how to put it, a fascinating and maybe a little out there concept.
I'm intrigued already. Lay it on us.
So, ever feel like your love life is like predestined for disaster?
You mean like it's written in the stars?
More like encoded in your DNA. We're diving into this wild text, The Absolute Agony of Ancestral Insulification. And yeah, that's the actual title.
Wow. Okay. Right off the bat, that's a choice. I'm guessing it's not a scientific journal article.
Definitely not. It's more like someone took the idea of incel culture, you know, that whole online thing, and then, well, they gave it a kind of historical twist.
Okay, for those of us who might not be totally up on the latest internet subcultures, could you maybe break down the whole incel thing?
Totally. So basically, incel is short for involuntarily celibate. It's often used to describe these like online communities, mostly guys, who feel super frustrated because they're not having any luck romantically.
I see. So this text takes that frustration, the whole feeling of being unlucky in love, and connects it to what, like their ancestors.
Exactly. Like, it's not just bad luck, it's bad genes passed down through the family tree. So instead of just blaming it on, you know, a bad Tinder profile pic, they're saying it's because their great-great-great-grandpa had game weaker than a soggy baguette.
Okay, so we're talking some next level blame shifting here. I am really curious to hear how this text pulls that off. Is it meant to be serious or more like satirical?
Oh, it definitely plays with the whole concept of genetic determinism. You know, it's the idea that our genes basically predetermine our destiny. But it does it in a way that's, well, let's just say it's very dramatic.
Dramatic, how so? Like Shakespearean levels of tragedy, but about bad dates.
Think more like soap opera melodrama, but with a genealogy chart thrown in for good measure.
Okay, you're really piquing my interest here.
Okay.
So, who are some of these ancestors supposedly dooming our poor protagonist to a life of romantic misfortune?
Oh, we've got a cast of characters. Like, there's Edward Plantagenet, you know, notoriously ruthless king. Well, according to this text, that means if you're related to him, you're destined to be a controlling partner.
Wait, seriously? They're drawing a direct line from like ruling England in the 15th century to what, sending way too many you up texts in the 21st century?
You get the idea. Like, no chill whatsoever, all thanks to good old King Edward. And it's not just him. They've got Simon de Montfort in there, too. You know, the guy big on religious extremism back in the day.
Oh, yeah. Not exactly known for his tolerance and understanding.
Exactly. So, in this whole ancestral incelification theory, inheriting his genes means you can't handle even the slightest disagreement in a relationship. Like, forget about agreeing to disagree. It's my way or the highway.
Oh, wow. Okay, so we're painting with some pretty broad strokes here, historically speaking. I have to say, from what you've shown us so far, it seems like the author's taken some, shall we say, creative liberties with both history and genetics.
It's definitely a simplified take on both, but that's part of what makes it so interesting to unpack. So it's like blaming your ancestors for striking out on Tinder.
Yeah, pretty much. But, you know, even though it's obviously a very unique take on things, it does make you think about, like, how much of who we are is actually determined by our genes, right? Like, can we really blame our love lives on something that happened generations ago?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? But before we get too deep into that philosophical rabbit hole, I kind of want to know, like, what does this ancestral incel actually do with this theory? Does he just accept his fate, or does he try to, you know, break the curse?
Oh, he definitely tries to make things happen for himself. I mean, according to the text, he doesn't just sit at home, you know, bemoaning his bad genes. He puts himself out there, goes on dates.
How do those go?
Let's just say, not great. Picture this. Our protagonist, David's his name, is on a blind date, right? He's at this cute little cafe trying to like make conversation over cappuccinos. So far, so good, right?
Yeah, sounds almost normal for a change. What could go wrong?
Well, suddenly the music in the cafe changes. It's like, bam! The Black Eyed Peas are blasting through the speakers.
Oh no, talk about a mood killer. Although, maybe Let's Get It Started could be someone's dating anthem. I don't know. But seriously, a Black Eyed Peas soundtrack to a blind date.
Yeah, you can imagine how well that goes down. Poor David stuck trying to have a conversation over Fergie belting out My Humps.
Not exactly the ideal setting for a romantic first impression. It does kind of make you wonder, though, if the author's using these over-the-top scenarios to, like, make a point about the awkwardness of dating in general.
Right. Like, it's not just about the ancestors. It's almost like he's saying dating is just inherently a minefield of cringe, no matter who your family is.
Okay, so Black Eyed Peas date, check. What other romantic misadventures does our boy David get himself into?
Well, later that night, he ends up at a club, and he actually meets someone who seems interested in him.
Okay, so maybe there's hope for him yet. Maybe this is his chance to, like, rewrite his genetic destiny, find true love despite his ancestors' best or worst efforts.
Well, about that. It turns out she's not really interested in him for, you know, him.
Oh, no, let me guess. She's a genealogist who's secretly obsessed with Edward Plantagenet.
Not quite. Get this. She's looking for a sperm donor.
You've got to be kidding me. A sperm donor? That's just adding insult to injury.
Right. The irony is she's interested in his genes, just not in the way he was hoping for.
Wow. Okay. So much for rewriting his genetic destiny. It's like no matter what he does, he just can't catch a break. But, you know, even though it's clearly supposed to be, like, funny, it does kind of make you think about the very real anxieties people have about dating.
Totally. Like, we might laugh at the absurdity of it all, but who hasn't felt that pressure, that fear of being, you know, perpetually single? It's a real thing.
So after all that, the blind date, the club, the sperm donor request, where does our boy David end up? Does he find a way to break free from his ancestral love curse?
Well, the text ends on a bit of a, how should I put it? A thought-provoking note, I guess. But it doesn't really give us a clear-cut answer, like a happily ever after or anything.
So it's more of an open ending, like maybe he beats the odds, maybe he becomes the world's oldest living incel, we don't know.
Exactly. But that's kind of the point, isn't it? The author leaves us wondering, like, how much control do we really have over our own destinies?
Especially when it comes to something as seemingly random as finding a partner, right?
Right. Because if you think about it, even if you believe in all this ancestral influence stuff, there are still so many other factors at play. Like maybe David's great-great-great-grandmother was a total heartbreaker, but that doesn't mean he can't, you know, work on his conversation skills or try online dating or whatever.
It's like our genes might deal us a hand of cards, but we still get to decide how we play them.
Exactly. And, you know, I think that's actually a really empowering message, even if it comes wrapped in this, like, ridiculous satirical package.
Totally. So even though we started with this whole idea of ancestral incelification, it's really more about, like, taking responsibility for our own happiness, right?
Absolutely. It's about recognizing that we're not just slaves to our DNA or our family history or whatever else we might want to blame our problems on. We have choices.
We do. And speaking of choices, we'd love to hear from you, our listeners. Have you ever felt held back by, like, family patterns or inherited traits, or do you believe you have the power to carve your own path?
Let us know. We're dying to hear your take on all of this.
Because at the end of the day, isn't that what this deep dive is really about? Starting a conversation, getting people thinking about these big questions, even if it's sparked by, well, a text about inherited bad dating luck.
Exactly. It's about looking at these seemingly absurd ideas and finding the deeper meaning hidden within.
And on that note, we'll leave you with this final thought. If you could inherit one trait, and one trait only, from A and Y of your ancestors, who would you choose? What trait would you inherit and why? Think about it. Until next time, happy diving.